Dr. Saturday Miss, we're having an ongoing conversation with IQ. Our Rasul is the foremost expert on the Islamic religion in the world today. IQ, is what we're witnessing in ISIS, in Syria and Iraq, is it infectious enough? Is it, does it have enough substance behind it that if it's not stopped immediately, it can never be stopped?
Yes, it's extremely, extremely dangerous. It's one of the most virulent viruses that has now infected the Middle East. And it has to be stopped by all means. Even if America and China and Iran and whoever combine together to exterminate them, I am for it.
Yeah, it's the problem with ISIS is that while it's ISIS is absolutely fundamentalist Islam, is their manifestation of fundamentalist Islam is so pure, it's so consistent with the Quran and Hadith. And they are so well armed and so well financed and so well positioned that the very fact that ISIS is the most perfect manifestation of Islam on planet Earth today, that this manifestation will destroy the world. Billions will die if we don't stop it.
Correct. Agreed. I have no problem with it. I've been saying this, I wasn't thinking of ISIS at the time. When Arab Spring started, or theoretically started 4 years ago,
yes,
I said it will never succeed, there will be no democracy, and in the end we will have a Middle Eastern nuclear war. I said that 4 years ago.
Yeah, what we actually had was an Islamic Reformation. This is the what Obama inspired with his speech to Cairo right after he was elected president.
Where he, 2009.
Yeah, where he praised Islam and said that no one would stand in the way of Islam and this was the time for Muslims to rise up. That when he made that speech, he inspired Islamic fundamentalists, and they have perpetrated an Islamic Reformation that has all but destroyed Tunisia, has destroyed Libya, is destroying the Central African Republic, is destroying Mali, is destroying Nigeria, has now destroyed Egypt, has previously destroyed the Sudan and Somalia, has destroyed all of the Islamic countries and the Middle East. It was a menace that he unleashed that the Sunni world now is all galvanizing towards ISIS as the ultimately victorious means to achieve what the Quran promises, which is world domination.
By the way, as we speak, for those Americans who don't know, the Saudi government and many of the Muslim countries during Ramadan are imposing Sharia upon their guests, even if they are not Muslim. So the duplicity of Islam is beyond reason and beneath contempt. Right. In the West, they demand that we respect them. Mm-hmm. In their country, they demand that we should be subservient to them. And correct. Our leaders allow both of them.
Correct. Yeah, the one place I would challenge what you said is that I do not believe that it is possible to prevail against the threat that is ISIS by forming alliances with any Islamic entity, including Iran, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, because ultimately Sudan, the Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar, Turkey, are ultimately going to continue to promote Islamic jihadism, and anything that we do to supply weapons or money with them, we're just postponing the problem, and it's going to rise up again just under a different name. And with Iran, ISIS and Iran are mortal foes. ISIS is the threat that Saddam Hussein could never muster against Iran. This is a battle to the death with Iran and Shia Islam.
I said it was a case of extermination. Only yeah. one of them will be standing. Only one.
Yeah. But when you realize, let's talk about that for a moment, because we don't want to lead anybody astray. We just listed 7 points, all of which have to be implemented. If you were to do 6 of the 7 and not do all of them, you have no chance of prevailing to stop ISIS. Ultimately, Sunni and Shia Muslims are going to have it out so that either the Sunnis are exterminated or the Shias are exterminated. Is that too great a statement, or do you concur that now with the amount of weapons?
It's an obvious item. It's really an obvious. You know, when Iran or the mullahs keep talking they want the bomb for Israel, they want the bomb for Palestine.
That's not true.
They want the bomb to survive. Why?
Correct.
Because Pakistan alone has 130 atom bombs.
Correct. They want the bomb to survive because Sunni Muslims represent 15 to 20. Excuse me, Shia Muslims, which is what Iran is, represent 15 to 20% of Muslims worldwide. And
yeah,
there's only five majority Shia countries in the world. Of those, only two really matter: Iran and Iraq are the only two that even matter. So there's only two material Shia countries in the world. It's Iran and Iraq. They've now lost most of Iraq, which means it's only Iran. So it's Iran not against Israel. It's not Iran against America. It's Iran against Iran's most lethal enemy, which is Sunni Islam. So what that means then, IQ, is that America's rhetoric that we want an inclusive government in Iraq is a pile of hooey.
Well, Kerry went to see Musa Barzani.
Yeah.
And Barzani told him, "You're dreaming.
Yeah.
You're dreaming. Iraq is not going to be again the same. We are
never.
Kurdish. We are not
right.
Arab. We shall
right.
never again be under an Arab rule." End
Correct.
Of conversation.
Correct. Yeah. So the only thing you could do temporarily to mitigate the carnage is you divide Iraq into three countries. You'd have the Kurds and then. Right. But make it official and say that there is no such thing as an Iraq anymore. There is Kurdistan, there is Sunnistan, and there is Shiistan, and those are the three divisions of Iraq. You could at least mitigate some of the short-term carnage, but you're still never going to do away with the fact that now that they're armed to the hilt, Sunni and Shia Muslims are going to fight to the death, and they're going to do so over the next 20 years.
Well, I don't think we have 20 years.
Oh, okay.
I
would agree with that. I agree with that.
20 years. You're very generous.
Yeah, we agree there.
What's happening in Syria? The division of Syria is also happening as we speak. The Kurds in Syria are now joining with the Kurds of Iraq.
Of course.
There will be a Kurdistan.
Right, of course.
There is no question about it.
And so is
Kurdistan Republic.
Eastern Turkey, same thing. That's the Kurds domain.
Right.
It'll be annexed into Kurdistan. And northwestern Iran is going to be annexed into Kurdistan. And there is nothing the world should do to stop that.
Well, but, why should they? They deserve a nation. They're a separate people. They deserve to have their land.
Right. And the Kurds are Kurdish ethnically more than they're Muslims. And they're not going to be part of the of this great jihad. All they want is for the first time in their lives to be left alone. Now,
absolutely.
That being the case, they're not the problem. We know that they're not the problem. So long as the world acknowledges that's what we need to do. But there is a 0% possibility that this, now that they're so well armed by American weapons primarily, that we are ever going to get the Shia and Sunnis to stop killing each other en masse, and the world has to be concerned about that because both sides are soon to have nuclear weapons.
Ironically, the world is not concerned. The EU issued a statement only a few hours ago condemning Israel for what it is doing in the West Bank. The world is collapsing in the Muslim world.
Of course.
Three boys were abducted.
Right.
And all that the whole of the European Union is worried about Israel. It's unbelievable.
Europe is so jaundiced against Jews in Israel. They have as little credibility as does the United States in this regard. For, you know, the thing that troubles me here is that we are on the cusp of losing billions of people on this planet. And it's happening because America invaded Iraq, created the Syrian war, and then started providing billions of dollars worth of weaponry to the rebels in the Syrian war. And that has put us in the position right now that we're witnessing the end of humanity. And yet the Secretary of State wants to threaten Russia with arming separatists in the eastern part of the Ukraine and Donetsk. And we want, and the European Union wants to sanction Israel for trying to retrieve the three kidnapped young boys.
I'm telling you, that's why Islam is winning.
Yeah, of course.
Muslims, if you put all 1,500 million Muslims together,
yes,
they cannot produce 1/10,000 what Israel produces.
Correct. Correct. Islam is debilitating. It's always been debilitating. It's a horrible cancer. It kills everything it touches. And so if we were to simply stop funding Islam with OPEC oil purchases and with weapons, they would be incapable of doing what they're doing. We are literally supplying the weapons that will be used to kill us.
But they are actually killing us with
them. Of course. Of course they are.
They are actually doing it. They've been doing it since 9/11.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
It's really unbelievable. Under Obama.
Yes.
And the military under Obama to allow him. What about Congress? He's asking Congress to provide billions of dollars that are needed in America.
Yeah.
They're not needed to give to the Muslims.
Yeah.
We gave to the Muslims in the last 65 years trillions of dollars.
I'm not sure there's a single sane voice. I don't think there's a single sane voice among senators and congressmen in America to do the right thing, which is to not only not supply the $5 billion worth of weapons, but to get out of Iraq. Rather than send trainers to Iraq, we need to get out of Iraq. We need to get out of Syria. We just need to stop selling military hardware to the Islamic world. Everything that we sell is going to be used to initiate World War III. And World War III ain't going to be nothing compared to World War II, folks. Billions of people are going to die. And unless every point that I made today and IQ commented on is implemented, we're witnessing the end of humanity. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli about trying to stop the menace that is Sunni Islam in the Middle East, operating now under the title ISIS. We have one of my favorite callers and favorite people on the line as well. Kirk, I'd like to welcome you to the program. I understand you have a comment on that seven-point plan.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Yaron. Good morning, IQ.
Good morning, you.
Good morning, yes, sir. If you were a debate, yeah, you would win hands down on your seven planks. I mean, there's no question about that. But the problem that I see is if we would try to implement those things with in a modern situation, the way we are in America today, in which maybe IQ is totally aware, you can't say these things against a religion and put it on every network or everything. I don't know how you would get it on there if they would just cancel it.
Yeah, I'm.
I mean, it's not.
Yeah, the premise was IQ. By the way, Kirk, what you've said is true. Mm-hmm. The premise was that IQ last week said you have to do something. You know, what would you do? And I said, okay, I'll come up with a seven-point plan. I articulated it quickly in the second hour of our program last Friday, and I've held off to today to redress that seven-point plan because it's my conclusion, it's IQ's conclusion, that these are the seven things you'd have to do, and you have to do all of them.
Right.
Which your point is that you don't think any one of the seven can be done. I happen to agree with you. I don't think any of the seven can be done in the world the way that it is comprised today. But that if you were, that the only way to stop a destruction of billions of people in this Islamic war is to do all seven of those things. And I agree. I don't think that the world is ready to do any one of the seven.
I don't think otherwise we could syndicate your program all over the place, you know, but they won't hear it.
That's correct.
That's what we won't hear it. Now, the other point that I was just going to make is also one of the degrees I have is in education, and I've spent about half of my life teaching as well as painting. And we grew up with progressive education, which mm-hmm. was Dewey's experimentalism, which is the biggest nonsense in the world you ever read. But so they changed it to progressive education, and that's really what dummied down everyone and the education system. It was an actual philosophy that just destroyed education as we knew it. It was more on how you relate to things rather than what you know.
Yeah, that's, and by the way, that point there is really the when IQ, and IQ is still with us, so we're going to get IQ's input here in a second. When IQ says, I don't understand why Americans don't seem to care that they're being destroyed, that is the reason. We've gone through generations of indoctrinating imbeciles in this country who cannot think rationally, who are incapable of exercising good judgment.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem is that we have dumbed Americans down to the point where they're acting like lemmings, and they're suicidal. IQ, I'd love for you to comment on what Kirk has said.
He is right, but what I can't understand is, I tell you, if I were a father in America, and the headmaster comes up with crap like that about relativism and everything, I would be one of the people to object.
Yes.
And I would try to move other people to object. But nobody seems to object. Nobody.
Correct.
Well, how could 300 million people be so indoctrinated that they cannot even defend themselves? And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, in California, it was the law. You had to teach it that way or you couldn't get any degrees.
Yeah, Kirk, and let me see if I can answer IQ's comment.
I'm sorry.
I think that I want your input, Kirk. My view is that IQ is that what has been done in the American educational process with Deweyism and with political correctness being part of the indoctrination, so that people no longer exercise good judgment. In fact, good judgment is considered the ultimate crime. Is that this is not a one-generational problem.
No.
It goes back at least three generations. And what that means is that my parents, my generation, and the current generation have all been affected with it. And we've been dumbed down for a particular reason, which is so that we will not object to our own destruction, so that we can be led by those who would fleece us and control us. And that it's been a deliberate and purposeful thing. And so fathers can't prevail with their children because the fathers themselves can't think. IQ, the thing that makes you so unique in the world, the reason you are the only regular guest on this program, is because you are one of the few people I know who is not only well-informed, but is universally rational. And I love you because you are rational. You're capable of exercising good judgment. Kirk's point is the vast preponderance of people overwhelmingly are incapable of being rational. We'll be back after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Before I have IQ comment on the dumbing down of the American people and making them incapable of being rational, deliberately as a function of the educational process of which Kirk is an expert. Let me just summarize where we are. ISIS is 1,000 times more viral and more relevant to fundamentalist Sunni Muslims than Al-Qaeda ever was. We're dealing with 1,000 times difference. That what we're witnessing that ISIS is perpetrating right now in the Middle East cannot be stopped unless the world would collectively embrace the 7-point plan that I've shared on this program. If they are not stopped by that 7-point plan, then we are witnessing the end of civilization as we know it. It'll take place in less than 20 years, and billions of people are going to die. And that ultimately what Kirk has added to this is that the average American has been dumbed down to be literally irrational through relativism so that they're not able to understand logically what we are presenting. If all of that is true, then IQ's initial statement as he joined us today is absolutely accurate. That he says, I'm mad as hell and I'm in a bad mood because I've realized that we are the enemy. We've done this to ourselves. IQ, with that summary, please jump in.
100%. As usual, I have to agree. You know, it's sickening that we have to agree every time. It really is very bad.
Yeah.
I think our listeners think we are joined together. We arranged all this before we even talk to each other.
Yeah, and the fact is, we never talk in between these programs. And I have done everything I can possibly do to encourage you to disagree. I mean, I have never once told you you ought not disagree. But the reality is you are one of the few, as is Kirk, resolutely rational people. And it requires two things. You've got to be well-informed, which takes time. And number two, you've got to be willing to exercise good judgment to be rational. There's just not a lot of us.
I agree. By the way, in Europe, it's exactly the same thing. When I first arrived in Europe, the education system was unbelievably advanced, really, really advanced. Today, university graduates come out, they can't even spell in English. Literally, they cannot spell in English.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening. It is frightening. By the way, I would like either you or I explain to our listeners why billions will die. Not hundreds of millions. Why? Billions will die. Could you do that?
I'd prefer you. You're our guest, and I'd prefer you to start, and I'll jump in when I either want to challenge or support something you've said.
Okay, fair enough. For those who even remember anything about World War II, the war ended with two atomic bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In total, 400,000 people died with two bombs, and these bombs were small. 20,000 tons each, thereabouts, in TNT.
Yes.
Today's bombs are thermonuclear. Thermonuclear, you're talking about megatons.
Yeah, they're fusion bombs. They're fusion bombs, not fission bombs. Yeah. Actually, they are both. The way a fusion bomb works is you first create a fissionable reaction, and the fissionable reaction instigates a fusion reaction amongst hydrogen atoms, and that makes them just massively more powerful.
Correct. In fact, they are unlimited in power. Depends on how much they want to put in. The important thing is this. 20 thermonuclear weapons will literally close the sun. There will be no more sunshine.
Correct.
The debris going into the stratosphere will make a Krakatoa, which was, what was it, a 19th century explosion of an island in Indonesia.
Right.
Will be nothing. That's why billions will die. Starvation, radiation, and social disorder.
Yeah.
Billions will die.
Yeah, and by the way, the social disorder is not going to only come from the fact that there will be a nuclear exchange. That is inevitable now because Pakistan has the bomb and Iran will soon have a bomb. And mutually assured destruction, which worked between the United States and Russia, was insane. But between the United States and Russia to keep both of us from annihilating one another, mutually assured destruction, MAD, will not work with the Muslims because they're insane.
Yeah, this is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes.
Mutually assured destruction among rational people, it works.
Right.
With irrational people who are Muslims, it is impossible.
Right. Correct.
Especially the Shia Muslims who want to create a World War III so that their Mahdi will come.
Right. Well, yeah, the Shiites are looking for World War III because they want their Mahdi to arrive. And the Sunni Muslims want to eradicate Shia Islam so they can establish a worldwide caliphate and from there conquer the entire world.
Yeah.
You can't resolve that problem. That's an irresolvable problem, and we're witnessing that problem right now in the Middle East, and the only way to stop it is to implement all 7 points on that plan, and there isn't a prayer that plan will be implemented.
Not only a prayer, not that plan, even the first plan, the first item.
Right. And without the first item, the rest of it is meaningless.
Absolutely. I've always said, knowledge, and knowledge are the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Muhammad and Islam. And I've always said, if the American media, not the way they are now, and TV and radio and print, expose Islam based on its own scripture, in its own language, it will self-destruct.
Correct. That is absolutely true. If we were to do point one, we would render Islam, we'd probably neuter Islam about 50% just by telling the truth about Islam. You really do need to do more than just the first point, which is to educate the world about how perverse Muhammad was and how much Islam is a declaration of war against all humankind because of the fact that you're not going to reach fundamentalist Muslims. They're going to continue to be fundamentalist Muslims. And we have armed them to the point now where they're capable of inflicting great carnage on the world. So now you need to do more than just educate people about the true nature of Islam.
That's why we have to quarantine them.
Yes.
That's why we should expel them from our midst. And they can stay in their... beautiful Sharia obedient nation.
Right. Yeah. You actually have to make. And that's why I had one of these points, and I know that's a point that that Americans and Europeans will chafe at. But you have to make Islam illegal. And the reason you make Islam illegal is you expose the fact that Islam advocates rape, that the Quran advocates mass murder, that the Quran advocates the slave trade and kidnapping, because the Quran advocates things that are illegal. It must be made illegal.
Yes, but more than that, it advocates gender
of
the female species.
Yes.
It advocates death and destruction for those who do not believe in Islam.
Correct. Correct.
So it is completely against
illegal.
The law, even the law that we have today.
Right, I mean, because it is illegal.
New laws.
Right. It ought to be made illegal. Because for the same reason that if you're an accessory to murder, you're guilty of murder. If you if I were to go to you and say, you know, there's some numbskull Muslim that I don't like what he's saying in Europe, and I want you to go knock him off. Here's some funds to go do so, and you kill him, then I would be complicit in murder, and I would be held guilty for being complicit in murder.
Right.
And that is the same reason why Islam must be made illegal. It is complicit in first degree murder. It's complicit in kidnapping. It's complicit in the slave trade. It is complicit in grotesque sexism in terms of rendering half of the world's population meaningless, depriving them of all freedoms. And it's engaged in rape and pedophilia, actually sponsors and encourages rape and pedophilia. And so the fact is, it is illegal. Look at the behavior of Boko Haram. They've in the last week, they kidnapped two more villages of little girls. And you look at, and they are a fundamentalist Islamic organization. Everything they do is criminal. Islam has to be made illegal. Kirk, what do you think the chances of that are?
Zero. Zero. I mean, when we have in Europe all the leaders, every single one of them, speaking about multiculturalism has not succeeded.
Of course.
Why?
It's a disaster.
No. It's not a disaster. It's only a disaster when it comes to Islam. Only when it comes to Islam. There are Italians, Germans, French in England. There are English in France. There are many European people from different countries in different countries. They abide by the law of the state. Only Islam is the odd man out.
Yeah, well,
multiculturalism has nothing to do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you, multiculturalism as it relates to race. I would not agree to it as if it is expanded to religion. Let me give you an example. In Greece, for example, where 98% of the population are part of the Greek Orthodox Church, they are 80% anti-Jewish. And so
They have no Jews. There may be 8,000 Jews.
Yes, of course. But anything they can do against Israel, they will do. They blame Israel for everything that happens bad in the world. The Ukraine is the same thing. Well, there's lots of reasons why. You notice I did not use anti-Semitism here, because I know that is one of the terms that you hate for good reason. But the world is very much opposed to Jews. And so multiculturalism isn't something that will be resolved, that will be favorable, even if Islam were eradicated. So, but the fact is that the Islamic religion is right now inciting World War III, and it is a battle that I've thought about this every possible way, IQ, and I would be happy for you or for Kirk to correct me. I don't see how it's going to be possible that what we're witnessing right now with ISIS, for it to be stopped. And I think that it continues to expand, not only in those two countries, but throughout the Middle East and then throughout the world.
Well, I hope you're wrong, because I think there will be some congruence to destroy them while they are there at the moment. They're overstretched, by the way. They're completely and utterly overstretched. The whole totality of ISIS at the moment is maybe 20,000 people.
Yeah, which is amazing.
20,000 people.
Yeah, and you know how large the Iraqi military is that America has funded? Over 1 million. And there's over 200,000 Shiite Iraqis and Mujahideen, and you've got 20,000 against 1,400,000. Welcome back to Shattering This. Kirk, you've been quiet here for a while. Go ahead. I'd like your
input. I was going to ask a question regarding where we left off. I have a hard time understanding why these predominantly Sunnis, there's a small army.
Right.
I know they have a lot of military, Saddam's military people helping them.
They do now.
But that's, and I know they're well armed, and they've been trained
yes.
by McClown's crowd.
So yes.
If I can use your quote.
Yeah, please.
And, but that's a long supply line for a small
yes.
number of people.
Yeah, and I want to, because the point I want to make is to challenge something IQ just said. I think, IQ, that if you were to wipe out ISIS tomorrow, it would make no difference. And let me, sure, here I've gone as far as to say that ISIS now is 1,000 times more compelling than Al-Qaeda ever was. We wiped out Al-Qaeda, and it made no difference. Islamic terrorism increased. If we were to wipe out ISIS tomorrow, al-Nusra would just take their place. And if we were to wipe out al-Nusra after that, there would be another Islamic banner that would be raised the following day. That until we recognize that until we wipe out Islam's lust to destroy the world, it doesn't matter how many of the organizations that ascribe to Islam that we eliminate. What do you think?
I agreed with you a long time ago that all the tens of thousands of names that they name themselves with are
right.
meaningless.
Correct.
Because they're all reading exactly the same scripture. They're all quoting from the Quran while they're
Correct.
Slaughtering each other, slaughtering
Correct.
Christians, Buddhists, Jews, and Hindus.
Right.
Definitely. We have to destroy Islam. Full stop.
So, there's nothing else. So let's say that the world does come together and they annihilate ISIS. And the United States supplies its $5 billion worth of war materials to al-Nusra Front in Syria. Doesn't al-Nusra just become the same thing that ISIS was?
You can't continue doing that.
Right.
You destroy ISIS and you destroy everything related to it. You have to eradicate Islam. Is that simple?
Correct.
It's not complicated.
Yeah, really, you have to eradicate Islam. And since we can't take the Islam out of the Muslims in the Middle East, out of the Muslims in Indonesia, for example, or Malaysia, or those in Northern Africa, all we can do is to expose and condemn the disease that is Islam, so the world knows what we're up against, that the problem is fundamental Islam, not radical Islam, and then to make Islam illegal in the West, so that it can't get a foothold here, and then to stop selling them weapons and stop supporting them so that they are self-quarantined, if you will, in their own countries.
Correct. Correct. There's no other solution. There really isn't any other solution.
No.
We're not disagreeing on anything. Simply, the terminology may be and the methodology. I've always said, first of all, show what Islam is all about. It is garbage. It is ungodly. It is evil. It is demonic. It is satanic.
It is. Okay, so point one absolutely has to be implemented, and it's Kirk's position that in the West, in Europe, in the United States, there is no chance that point one will be implemented, but it must be. Point two is you have to make Islam illegal. And you make it illegal, not because for no other reason than it espouses and inspires things which are criminal. There is no other choice in the West to make but to make Islam illegal.
Every Friday when they come out from the mosque in Jerusalem, they start shooting and killing and throwing stones on the Jews. Why only Friday? Because Friday is the Jum'ah,
day of prayer,
where the Imam spouts all his hatred, not only against the Jews. When they come out from the mosques in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, and in Indonesia, they attack the Christians, they attack the Hindus every single Friday.
The AK-47s, shoot, the rocket-propelled grenades, the 50-caliber machine guns, the surface-to-air missiles, the anti-tank weapons, where do they all come from?
Well, a lot of them from America, but they also got some from China and Russia.
Okay, yeah, but from China, Russia, Europe, and America, right?
Correct.
They don't build them.
Correct.
Right, they don't build them. So all you have to do is to stop selling them weapons, and their ability to perpetrate jihad and terrorism diminishes gargantuanly.
Yes, exponentially.
Right. So what Obama announced today, that this is the first $500 billion of a publicly announced plan, he's already sent billions, for another $5 billion of weapons to Syria, that's the exact opposite of what we should be doing.
That's why he should be impeached and removed from office forthwith.
Boy, do we agree on that. IQ, I want to thank you for being part of this conversation
for
staying for the extra hour. You are wonderful. You are a treasure to the world. I just hope the whole world will one day listen to you. Thank you, my friend.